we are all capable of anything that we, our deepest desires and our deepest dreams in life. And every single person is capable of that. And I want to be living proof of that.
Welcome. And this is Far Betterment. To another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. Sorry about the audio. It's going to be horrific in this intro. Traveling on the road and using a tiny handheld mic, it's going to be real bad, so bear with us. The rest of the episode, the audio is going to be spectacular, so enjoy that. In this episode, I'm joined by a very special guest and old friend of my wife's and kind of new friend of mine, Mary Heineman. My wife's known her since middle school. Mary's lived all over the world, traveled the country, lived all over the country, joined the Peace Corps. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you guys how many amazing things Mary's done. Actually, what I'll do is let her tell you in her own words. So without further ado, Mary Heineman for Far Betterment.
Hello. Hey, how's it going? Hi. It's Andrew.
How are you? Hi, Andrew. How's it going?
How have you been?
Oh, I've been great.
It looks like just, it.
Just went to the dentist today. And
ooh, fun.
Now we're cold.
Nice.
Really exciting stuff.
Oh yeah, it sounds pretty exciting. I was just thinking about it today, and I don't think I've seen you. I mean, I've only seen you a few times. I mean, you're my wife's friend, obviously, but mm-hmm. Last time I saw you, I think was Circa Survive,
like 10 years ago. Yeah, it was some concert. I was like, yeah. so happy and surprised to run into Robin and you there, and. Yeah, that was, I don't know what year that was. That was a long time ago.
That was the most random place to run into each other, too, because I think, weren't you going to college up in Fort Collins at that time?
Yeah, I was. And I think at the same concert, I ran into, like, my high school boyfriend, which was super random, too.
Oh, that's weird. So,
it was a weird night. But, yeah, wow, lots has happened for everyone.
Yeah, it really has.
Where are you guys right now?
So we're living in North Carolina, just outside of Raleigh.
Okay.
We moved here, let's see, in 2013, I want to say, over the summer.
What prompted that? Is that where you're from?
No, not at all. I'm actually, annoyingly, a native. Denver native.
Oh, Colorado native.
Yep, I'm one of those people.
Nice.
Yep. And so, no, Robin's parents moved out here actually, and we just kind of wanted to be closer to them, and weren't having great relationships with our friends or with family, and just kind of thought we'd run away from all of our problems. In your 20s, I guess that's what you do.
And yeah, so, you gotta fly out of the coop at some point or test something new out. Yeah,
I guess so.
Do you guys have a good community there? Do you feel?
I think so. It's pretty small now. We've done like a really good job, I think, of whittling down. I don't want to say like whittling down friends. That sounds terrible. But trying to like make our circle a lot smaller and, you know, just keep it to people that we trust and.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're pretty, I don't know. I'm a naturally distrusting person as it is. So that always makes things kind of difficult. Oh yeah. Very. Like,
why do you think that is? Or what about, is it humanity or is it about your experiences or?
No, definitely experience. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just the way I grew up and stuff, it's just always been really hard for me to put a lot of faith in people, I guess. I've always been a person that like kind of I'd rather do it on my own than ask for help, I guess. If you have to depend on yourself. I'm learning not to be like that so much, though.
Well, yeah, it sounds like you have quite a bit of self-awareness, at least, which is like way more of a step than most people.
Well, I hope so.
I have to tell you that you're like, seem to be, I mean, you don't really know me, but you definitely have been like following up with making this happen. So I think that that shows that you have some innate trust that maybe you don't always acknowledge.
Maybe. I appreciate that. Thanks. I guess I don't really recognize that, but I appreciate it. It's kind of odd, you know, like I just have seen you go from like the person that I knew from high school, you know, that I met a few times, like when we were all kind of like crazy and in our 20s and, you know, to like who you are now. And it's just so interesting to me, just in a general sense, because of how much people grow and change and, you know, like it's... I don't think a lot of people get a chance to talk about that or to, I don't know. It's just really interesting to me to see and to, and I don't mean like just you, you know, I don't mean to make it so personal and make it so.
Yeah.
I just think it's really inspiring the things that you're doing and really incredible what you're up to. And like really unique too. There's not a lot of people who can say that they've been in the Peace Corps and done things like that. Like that's pretty unique. Maybe, maybe you don't realize it because you were in it with other people who share the same experiences, but
yeah,
I don't know anybody. Robin doesn't know anyone, you know, you're the only, you know?
Yeah. I think it's really, I definitely talking about like self work and things that we're all getting better at. Like I can see that about a lot of other people in my life. Cause I like to surround myself with really badass people who are fighting for, you know, their passion and what they believe and have integrity. And
yeah,
I'm like the first person to be like, yeah, you're amazing. And then when it comes to myself, like I definitely know I'm not stupid. I'm not like self-shaming or anything like that, but I just don't, it's really nice to hear those things, but it is not easy to actually receive it or always believe it, you know?
So I understand that.
I definitely do capitalize on like, I used to be a douchebag and...
Do you believe that though? I never took that from you.
No, I mean, I think I had a good heart. I just think I was super unaware and living in a bubble and had so much privilege and just didn't have any sort of context of the world.
Okay.
And so it came out as what I call in a nutshell douchebag, you know, like I wasn't a bad person, but I didn't feel good in who I was.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I think, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, but it feels good to not be a douchebag. But I mean, I still have my moments. I'm still like a hot mess a lot of times and I'm still figuring my shit out. And I think social media does a really good job at siphoning that out. So we don't always see the reality of everyone's lives.
Sure. Yeah.
And I still have a lot of privilege, like getting to go back and forth and work with the communities I work with is immensely privileged. So anyway, thank you for saying all those nice things.
No, I mean, I don't want to say I want to give you credit where it's due. I mean, you've worked very, very hard to get to where you are and to do these things, you know, and I feel like saying that is too small, if that makes any sense.
Well, thank you.
I don't know. I understand what you're saying about it being hard to receive those compliments. And I don't know. I think it's incredibly, well, you mentioned self-awareness. Like it's incredibly self-aware to realize where you were, where you've come and where you're going. And I don't know.
Yeah.
That's it's amazing to me. And
yeah, well, I mean, you and Robin are raising children. I mean, that is like, holy crap, that is the big deal. I mean, those are other people, and you're setting the framework for them.
Well, you never know how you're gonna...
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. You never know. You could do your best work and they could still be crazy, but it's still, I think it's amazing. I don't think that people give parents enough credit with everything they do. Well,
that's really nice of you to say. I appreciate that. That's super nice. I guess, see, that's hard for me to receive because we don't take it that way. Like, we just kind of, you know, to us, the privilege is having the kids, you know, to us, the privilege is having them, being able to raise them and, you know, being around them all the time and stuff. That is like, we feel like we're the lucky ones.
So. Right. Which shows that you guys have done the work and thought about it and like care, whereas not everyone is that way. Well,
that's very true. It is. I can't argue with that, but. Hopefully.
But I'm not a parent. I don't know.
Do you want kids ever?
Oh, that's a good question. I get asked that a lot.
Do you? That must be annoying.
I mean, as like a 30-year-old woman, I think in our culture that definitely comes up a lot. And going to Tanzania, East Africa, where it's still very patriarchal in a lot of ways, similar to here. And more just maybe not even patriarchal, but just more conservative in the sense that like the expectation is you get married and have kids and have lots of kids. And so me as like this white kind of like bold foreigner coming in with no husband and no kids, I get asked all the time, where's your husband? Where are your kids? How many kids do you have? And I'm like, none. And obviously I answer the question very differently depending on my mood, depending on who I'm talking to, depending on how long I've been in country. There's a lot of factors, but I'm usually pretty honest and like, well, I don't have any and I don't really want any for right now. And I'm doing other things first and blah, blah, blah. So I don't always answer the question honestly. I don't know. I think I think there's a big possibility I would have children in the future, whether that's adoption or myself or with a partner, but that's not something that's like on my list for right now. If it happens, it will be down the road when I'm a little bit more established and can provide in the way that I'd want to and like have my own shit together more.
No, I think that's a really mature answer. I didn't even think it didn't even occur to me like, oh, this is a weird question to ask somebody in their 30s. That's a woman. Like, that's a really
it's not a weird question. No, so. I mean, I don't think inherently it's not. It's just, it can, I mean, I just started grad school online. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that I'm becoming more aware of like, oh, right. There is this like kind of projection onto not just women, men too, of like, oh, so when are you going to settle down and buy that house and have 2.5 kids and da 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 and have your 401k? And it's like, I think we're kind of in that middle generation right now where it's still somewhat expected of you and there's a lot of people breaking the mold too. And so just kind of having that honest dialogue.
I appreciate the people breaking the mold. I think we need them. And especially right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially right now. I guess I don't want to get too much into politics. But especially
maybe when
now.
We're not, maybe I assume that you're recording this, but maybe when we're not recording, I would love to talk politics.
I feel like we probably agree on a lot.
I feel like we probably would too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think Robin would agree with us also.
Oh, Robin, you have such a cool wife.
I do. Man, I do. I'm very lucky.
She was one of my all time, just one of those friendships where like, even though you fade in and out and it's been so long, there's just like that deep core kind of like that just that love and that understanding and like those pivotal years of middle school where you're just so awkward and like figuring out the world. And it was just like one of the truest, really friendships that I had at a young age. And so
she's always,
man, we would just laugh so hard.
She's always spoken like really highly of you and well, and Kayla too, because I know the three of you guys like really hung out.
Yes, and, Kayla.
So yeah, she's always spoken really highly of you.
Well,
I think you're her oldest friends, people. Actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you guys have been friends with her the longest or known her the longest. Besides me, maybe.
Yeah.
That's odd.
When did you guys meet? Freshman year, sophomore year?
No. She actually was dating one of my friends. They went out like maybe a couple times and just didn't work out. And so I kind of asked permission to talk to her, you know, as as you do with your friend.
Yeah, good job.
And he said, go for it. And then we've been together ever since. So it's probably 2000, well, not probably. It's 2006 when we got together.
Wow.
So she was, junior? And I had just
graduated. Yeah, 2 years younger than me.
Yeah, so, we've been together for 13
years. Well, the real question is, if your friend would have said no, would you still have pursued her?
Yeah, I think so. It would have taken a while, but yeah. I mean, it's one of those...
Good answer.
It's one of those things where, like, I knew right away that, like, I just needed her in my life for some reason. And within, like, months, we knew... like we were just going to be together and we moved in together and then we really knew like, okay, living together is a piece of cake for us. This is right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so
we
kind of just knew. And yeah,
I have to admit, I list the only other podcast that I do is the one of you two.
That's funny.
That was like most recently. And I thought it was super cute and authentic.
I appreciate that. That's so nice of you to say. I love doing them with her. Those are my favorite. I know that sounds like so biased and those are my favorite though. The ones with her, because nobody knows me that way. I can't talk to anybody the way I can with her, and I can almost kind of forget that we're recording when I'm with her.
Yeah.
So
that's a good sign. That means you're in your flow.
We haven't gotten sick of each other yet, so we haven't run out of things to say. So that's always good.
I'm so curious how this all kind of came to fruition and like what was your mentality on it, or like, how did that idea get sparked for you?
Oh, geez. It's, so I was really, really depressed like for the last, been in a really good place for the last year probably, but prior to that I was just in such a bad place that I really didn't think I was going to make it out of the year. I really had gotten to a point where I was telling Robin every day, like, this is it. I know how I'm going, and just be ready, like, this is, I'm done. And she was like kind of in a panic, you know. Obviously she didn't know what to do, she didn't know what to say, she never dealt with anything like that. And I was just, I had just given up. And, you know, when you're in that state of mind, you feel like you're screaming out to people and everyone can see it and it's so obvious and nobody's reaching out to you because they just don't care. And that's not the case at all. And so when I finally realized that from other people, cause I had started a, website and stuff to try to help other people, because my son actually came to us and told us he was depressed one day. He wrote us like this long letter, and he was like 6 or 7 at the time. He wrote us this long letter about how he didn't want to be here anymore, and it just like it restarted my entire life for me, because I knew he's going through the same thing I am. He never said anything. He was ashamed to say something to us. He had to write it in a letter and leave it for us on a pillow. And so I just decided, I can't live in a world where kids or adults think that it's something to be embarrassed of. So I have to just start being honest about it. So I just started writing and writing and writing. And I ended up writing like 36,000 words or something about how depressed I was and how I wanted to die all the time and just being as brutally honest as possible. And
that's gotta be really not super comfortable and really brave.
It was uncomfortable for sure. I don't know if it was brave. I think it helped me as much as it helped anybody else. It was cathartic for sure. And I had a lot of people reach out to me, just strangers that I had never met or known or seen, and tell me what they were going through and how similar it was. And, through like helping each other, I started to feel better and they started to feel better in a lot of cases. Thank goodness, you know, I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I was making things worse for somebody. And then I realized like, I could be reaching out to my friends too. It's not just them that should be reaching out. It should be an equal effort. And so the podcast came about because I just wanted an excuse to call my friends once a week. And originally that's all I was going to do, was just talk to my friends. But strangers started reaching out to us too and wanting to be on. And I think I've actually done more episodes with perfect strangers than I have with my friends now at this point. I think we just kind of passed that. But you are someone I've wanted to have on for a really long time because we don't really know each other well at all. And you know my wife longer than I have. And I think that you have a really interesting story and really inspiring to women. And I have a daughter now, and I want my daughter to see women like you. As people, you know, I want my daughter to not even think of herself as a woman. Like, I want her just to be another person in the world who's really strong and can do whatever they want. And I think you have that.
She definitely can.
Absolutely. And I think you have that ability to show people that they can. I mean, you're a very strong person. It just radiates from you.
Wow, thank you.
No, I mean, even though, you know, that's hard to hear, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it's interesting how we view ourselves and how others view us and how it's always changing, too.
But that's humility, though. And humility is a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
People need that. It
is. Definitely. Well, I think that what you're doing, I'm glad to have heard it from you directly rather than, like, you know, find out through websites. And I think there's just something, just like you just said, there's something really special about like actually connecting with people, listening to their voice and their inflection and hearing their stories. And it doesn't surprise me that it made people feel better, because I think that's how we're built. Like, we're, as humans, we need that. We need that connection and love and support and affirmation and belonging. And unfortunately, I don't think that our culture is like set up as best as it could be for that. And so I think it's natural to just feel so overwhelmed sometimes with all of these things going on in the world, and it's so in our face, and we don't always get to see like the happy, positive things.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think you have a really good perspective on that. It sounds like you do anyway.
Thanks.
I try to learn.
I try to learn from what I've witnessed in this world. Yeah.
We've just sat here like complimenting each other the whole time. It's getting embarrassing now at this point.
Yeah, it's like an affirmation circle. Yeah.
We might as well just have therapy together and just compliment each other the whole time. Oh, man. How embarrassing.
Sounds good to me. I think we could all benefit.
Right? Maybe that'll have to be another episode where we just get somebody on and compliment them the whole time.
Yes, the weekly build-up.
Yeah, there we go. That's a great title, too. So why don't you, I guess let's start from like the beginning or the last time we saw each other. What happened after that? I know that's a lot, probably, but.
Yeah, it was roughly I remember 2007 maybe.
Yeah, that sounds about
right. I'll give like a general.
Oh yeah, yeah. You don't have
overview.
To
overview.
Yeah, you don't have to tell your life story.
So yeah. Well, I was in school at Colorado State University, and you know, had my own ups and downs in that experience of college, mm-hmm. figuring myself out. But eventually,
Completely normal stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Normal stuff. And I will say that I have a knack for kind of taking it to the next level in certain situations. Okay. So just like, you know, slap on the wrist and more like internal figuring out who I am and mm-hmm. how I fit into the world and how I want to show up. And so, yeah, I graduated with a degree in communications and a minor in women's studies and really figured out my passion for women's rights and equality and just there's a lot of struggle in the world and there's a lot of suffering and yeah. how to use my, you know, privilege that I've had in my life and try to support each other. And so I actually had a mutual friend who did the Peace Corps in Kenya. And throughout the whole process, I was just kind of like watching through social media of like, wow, this person is doing such amazing things over in this, you know, at that time I had the stereotype of like what Africa was and just thought it was so amazing. Mm-hmm. Realized that it was something that I wanted to do. And I didn't really know much about what the Peace Corps was or what I would be getting into. And at that point, the process for applying was very difficult and a lot more ambiguous than it is now. Like nowadays, you can kind of pinpoint your skill sets and maybe the region you want to go to. But back then it was like, well, you're either going to be health or ag and we'll tell you where you're going to go. And if you don't want to go, you don't go. So, I moved to Seattle and lived there for about a year while I worked on my application and they Peace Corps approved of my application and said, you're going to Tanzania, which I quickly looked up on Google because I didn't even know where it was. And I was a health volunteer. So I lived in a rural village of the Southern Highlands of Tanzania for about 2 years, 27 months as a health extension volunteer. And my village had about 2,000 people in it. I learned Swahili. I learned skills. I learned a lot. I learned like how to preoccupy myself hours on end with no electricity, no running water, and not understanding what anyone is saying around me and waiting 5 hours for a village meeting to start and how to laugh at myself and how to not take everything so seriously and how to not show up as a white savior, but as someone who's receiving way more than I could ever ask for from community members. that's the beginning of my love for Tanzania and for Africa. And then from there, I came back to the U.S., and really struggled for a few months. I wouldn't say if I was, I don't know if I was depressed, but I was really struggling with the cultural, like the reentry shock of it all. And
okay.
dealing with the things I had witnessed and the people I had fallen in love with and then coming here and seeing, you know, the younger generation on Snapchat all the time and saying, like looking in the refrigerator and saying, oh, there's no food in here. And just like dumb shit like that, or like, oh, Mary, how was Africa? And like knowing that people meant well, but it was really challenging coming back after living abroad for so long. And so then I just tried to find any way to get back and to go travel more. And that's when I started as a student travel leader for a couple different organizations, where I was the in-country leader for high school and college students. And we would do some sort of service project. And I was like the cross-cultural educational leader, role model, motivator, like slash nurse, slash therapist, like everything all in one.
Oh, wow.
And then I did that off and on for couple of years. And then I kind of was starting to feel that, as you know, as great as these organizations are, and as much as I saw students transform in the process of traveling and connecting with, you know, people who live differently than themselves and just getting a more holistic view of life, they just transform so much and get so much out of it. And I was so grateful to be a part of that. But I also saw that there was a lot of room for improvement on what the actual locals were getting out of it. And there are a lot of organizations out there that think that they're having a positive impact, and in reality, they're not. And they feel really good about what they're doing. But from the development side of things, it's doing more damage than benefit. And so, you know, I was lucky that the organizations I was working with were really like one side of the spectrum and being pretty mindful and supportive and mm-hmm. aware of these things. So from there, I came back to the U.S. once, went on a hike with my best friend, Sam, who also did Peace Corps. And we were like, let's just start our own. Let's just make it. Let's just be the change that we, you know, want to see. And so we started Live Dunia, which means live globally in half English, half Swahili. And Live Dunia is still running, but it is me as the sole founder and owner as of right now. Sam and I are still best friends, but she started her own entity in specifically Tanzania, and she's a badass. So blah blah blah. Wow, lots of talking. So Tanzania is still running.
I love it. This is the point.
Okay, good.
Talk as much as you want.
Okay, thanks. So yeah, Tanzania is still running and operating, and we focus on one village called Uwemba. In the Southern Highlands near a town called Njombe. And we host student groups that are aiming to have a more sustainable, collaborative mindset in their time together. And they stay in a homestay and they work on a service project that the specific projects are all coming from the village themselves and what they desire and what they need. And the village plans it, and they have, you know, a buy-in, whether it's time or money or labor or hosting the students. But it's a collaborative effort. And so that is one thing that I get busy with. And then, from there, I decided to start another business called Mama Dunia, which works with women co-ops and women's organizations in Tanzania, mostly artisan women who create and craft like necklaces and bracelets and sandals and scarves and like every beautiful design you could think of. So we work together. I buy the goods from them, and then I sell them on Etsy, and I sell them right now currently at the Flint Farmers Market. And then roughly, like, we're still in the beginning ages of figuring out the hard numbers, but like roughly 50% of the proceeds go to back to the women's groups for projects that they deem as necessary. And actually, anytime working with women, and if they're going to have an increase in income, the number one answer that any woman is going to say, like, what are you going to do with this extra money? I'm going to pay for my schools or my children's schooling. So, you know, it's definitely helping these business women, but it's also helping, you know, the future leaders of the world. So I do that also. That's like a little side project. And then more recently, I started grad school at the University of Michigan, pursuing my master in social work. So I'm going to be taking a little bit of a hiatus from actively going to Tanzania and actively leading groups after the summer, just for a year, because it's a quick program. But the goal is to be able to, you know, really invest in like my toolkit. And selfishly, I'm excited about going back to school, but just really like get a better idea of how to be of service to marginalized communities, whether it's a group of women in Tanzania or whether it's a group of students here in the US. How can I be the best I can at that? And then like bringing people together, I think similarly to what you were saying earlier, is like, when we come together and really can relate and empathize and hear each other and see each other, like, man, we can really heal a lot of
absolutely
people and ourselves.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's like the overall goal of all of it, is like, how can we come together and heal ourselves?
I love that. And what do you like? No, I think that's great. And thank you for answering like most of my questions without me having to ask.
I
love that. I love when people are like so passionate, because it really makes it easy for me to like ask things.
good, I'm glad.
Yeah, so actually going back to that, I wanted to ask you, you talked about coming back here and how like difficult it was, and the shock of our culture versus you know, culture in Africa. What was the most difficult part as far, or what was the most shocking, I guess, when you came back? What part did you not miss, I guess?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I'll answer for like the first time I came back, because I think that was like the most visceral time. But I will say that like I go to Tanzania a couple times a year, and every time it's different, like going both ways. I go there and I receive the culture differently, or I'm in a different mindset than I was before. And so things there are different. And then when I come back here, it's usually more difficult coming back here because it is so intense. Mm-hmm. So every time I feel it, and it's just, it's definitely not as big or as, jarring, but I still feel it. Mm-hmm. And I cope better, and I have more of a community in my life all over the world that like can relate, and I can articulate it better with people who maybe haven't experienced that. So like, I feel like I have a better toolkit with it. But I definitely still feel it. But the first time, I think it was just the biggest thing. There's so many things. In Tanzania and most places I've traveled in the world outside of the US, people are driven with community, are like, that is a huge value in their lives, is greeting each other and really stopping and looking into each other's eyes and shaking someone's hand for like 5 minutes. Whereas, you know, sometimes that can get uncomfortable for us, but they're in it and they love it, and they want to sit down and they want to take it slow and they want to have tea with you and they want to hear about you and your life and your story and how you are that day. And so here, coming back to like this fast pace, go, 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 like work till you're dead, just not stopping to say hi, not stopping to like hear how someone's day is, just pushing it so hard. Really individualistic in a lot of senses was really shocking. Yeah, I don't know. I have so many things I could say about it all. Food and just like the easy access of it, the how many options we have, the overabundance options in any aspect. It's just like, how do we make any decisions? It's so much.
Do you think you felt like guilty a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely think I felt guilty. I felt maybe not guilty, but I just felt lots of privilege in the fact that I could go to this beautiful country and receive so much from the culture and the people, and then come back. And I felt a lot of responsibility and like sharing to people that Tanzania is amazing. And I did not go there and save all of these people. I did not go there and like, you know, people just had such a stereotype about what I was doing. And the reality is I've received so much more than anyone. And so really feeling that responsibility is like, how do I communicate that to people? You know, people are coming to me with their expectations and their stories of what they think about Africa and what they think about service and what they think about Peace Corps. And how do I really articulate that to someone without being a bitch? Because I was feeling really angry and feeling really resentful towards our mentality that like we are better than other community or other cultures. And just by us having our presence there is like helping. Like, no, actually, it doesn't always help.
Yeah.
So I definitely felt guilt for leaving my village and not being able to keep in touch more. And yeah, it was a lot of navigating of emotions.
Yeah. Do you find it difficult to reintegrate? Or, well, actually, a better question, I think, is, are you a different Mary here than you are there? Or do you find that you've kind of merged? So you are. Okay.
How so? I totally am. How so?
Yeah.
Well, I think like the personality is typically somewhat the same.
Okay.
But the differences I see are one of the reasons I love going back to Tanzania so often is I have had like a really solid community there of Tanzanians and Americans who choose to live there, who just get it in a very unique way. But it slows me down and it makes me, like one of my closest friends says it really beautifully, and that like the just natural process of it all, the culture there and the food and the water and just the system, is to be grateful for what you have and to really be aware of everything you have. And so when I'm there, I'm like just much more aware of where this food is coming from and the people that got it here and the people that are around me. And yeah, you're just like, for me, I'm just naturally more grateful there. Whereas here, I can lose sight of all of the things that go into just getting a simple meal on my plate, because the system is so easy for that. You know, I can drive through a McDonald's, or I can go to the store and everything's packaged for me. Or, you know, there's just like so many more steps in between the process. And so you just, for me, I just kind of take it for granted more easily here. So that's one major thing. The other thing, like more personally, is that because of the lifestyle I live, like when I'm over there, I'm like working my ass off for quite a bit of time. And then I come back here and I'm usually not working when I'm here. And I'll find odd jobs here and there. Like I managed a hostel last year in Portland, and I did some trainings for another organization, and I do a lot of childcare, and I just do random hustles, but I'm usually not working the same way that I work there. And so one struggle I really have here is that like no one really sees what I do, you know, like it's just kind of like, oh yeah, we get what Mary does over there. We kind of generally get it. But they don't actually see it. And so like, if you're a student of mine, or if you're a co-leader of mine, or many of the partners I've had, like business partners I've had, they see that, and that means so much to me. And so when I come back here specifically with like family, they don't always see that, and they try to get it, but you know, seeing it firsthand is much different. So I think that's definitely a little bit, I'm very different in that way.
That's interesting, because yeah, you seem like such a hard worker. It's hard for me to imagine people not recognizing that. But I guess now that you explain it, I kind of get it. But it's it's interesting to me that that's a thing for you to deal with.
I think more so like the culture, the culture of it. Like,
yeah,
I definitely work hard here, but in a different way. Whereas there, I'm like, I'm shooting the shit with the mamas, and I'm making all the young boys laugh after they like hit on me. And I'm like, I'm just a fixer. I'm like doing all these things, and I'm like in the flow of it.
Yeah.
And just naturally, I can't do that here because we're not speaking Swahili. We're not, you know, like it's just set up so differently.
Well, and it's so huge. I mean, it's hard to get like a small community to really recognize you here as much, I'd imagine. So I guess kind of dovetailing off of that, what do you, I don't want to say, what do you want people to know about you? Like, what do you need people to know about you? And in that sense, what do you need people to know about Tanzania? You said there's a lot of stereotypes.
Ooh, those are really good questions. I think what people need to know about me, that is a hard question. They need to know that I'm like fiercely loyal, and that I will not stop fighting with, not for, because I'm not, you know, any different than anyone else, but I'm fighting with those who maybe don't have such an equal fair shot at life, and pursuing joy and the rights that I think that we should have as humans. So yeah, I think that's something people need to know about me. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like really funny and make amazing guacamole, and I'm super addicted to coffee. And yeah, those are only the necessities right now. what people need to know about Tanzania is that it is magic. It really is healing for the soul. I mean, it has so much going on for itself, and so much beauty in the environment. You know, there's Serengeti, there's Zanzibar, there's Mount Kilimanjaro. There's all these like quintessential African things that you think of when you hear after the continent of Africa, and they're really peaceful and they're really intelligent. They came up with an online or a text, a mobile banking system before we ever had Venmo here in the US. And they're just, they've got a lot going for them. And in general, Africa is really booming in a lot of great ways. And I struggle when people, like, yes, there are issues. There's malaria and there's HIV and there's, you know, dowries. And there are these general challenges that I think any country in the world has. It just looks differently. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they have a lot to teach us. They have a lot of values that I think we as Westerners could benefit from, like gratitude and patience and humility and like hard work. So yeah, those are all the things people need to know about Tanzania.
Well, I want them to know that, you know, I want them to understand from your perspective. I think it's important to break down those stereotypes, and I think we all have them, you know, we all have this view of the world and how things work. And I think for you, it's important that, you tell them, because people need to understand that it's not the way it always is on TV and, or, you know, wherever in the news or media or social media. Is just kind of a weird filter to see things through.
Yeah. And there's just so much history.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot has happened before us, and it's hard to know it all. So how can we just show up as our best?
Well, and I guess selfishly for me too, like I don't, you know, I know nothing about, I've been to Mexico. That's as far outside of America I've been.
I hear Mexico's beautiful.
It's beautiful. I didn't go to those beautiful places.
Okay.
My family was more based in like Juarez and stuff like that. So.
Oh yeah.
It's more dangerous.
So lots of action happening there. I wrote a paper on the maquiladoras in Juarez in college.
Oh, did you really?
It was eye opening.
You're like the most cultured person I think I've ever met.
Maybe. No. I was like young college puke, like, ooh, what can I write a paper on? And that's when I realized I didn't love Nike, because Nike was the biggest corporation that was exploiting women there. And then I was anti-Nike, and now I'm like pro-Nike again after Kaepernick. So,
well, everyone can grow, you know, like everyone can grow and change, even a gigantic corporation.
It's
a great segue into my next question.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, like, how you view your change from, you know, high school or even middle school to high school to college to, and like, what was that big, you seem like a person that's always just like ready to take a leap of faith, you know, like you just kind of say, I want to do this, and then you do it. And I think that's an incredible quality in a person. So how do you view your change, and how did you get to the point where you are now?
Yeah, I think I like that question, because I think it gets back to what I talk to my students about all the time is like, you know, if you see something in the world that you really like and you didn't know about, or you see yourself in a different way, like you can be that. You can choose to show up in that way. You don't have to go down this path that you have known before. Like you can create your reality every single day. And I think I really don't, I've had this conversation before with people in my life. I don't really know at what point I had any sort of like wake up call, or I don't think that happened. Mm-hmm. I felt for a long time, I just felt really uncomfortable in my skin and how I was showing up. And I just intuitively and in my gut felt like there was something bigger that I like really needed to experience. And just seeing someone in my life actually do something like that was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Because when I get on an idea, like you said, I get very, tenacious, and I just do it. And so it was almost like, you know, a lot of communities and cultures, the youth go through this phase, or it's not a retreat, but they initiation, you know, like they have to pass through this initiation to then become an adult and become who they're meant to be. And so I think I kind of went on my own, really crazy, up and down, failing left and right, like totally fucked up in a lot of ways, and then had to like prove to myself that, oh no, I can pick myself up. And so just constantly like committing to that and trying to go higher and still, I'm still trying to go higher because there's so much, there's always room for growth and improvement. But I think once I got to Tanzania and like trusted that whole process and made it happen, it was them leading me the way throughout that, because they just constantly like showed me that anything is possible. So I think it was a mixture of me and my fight and passion, but also like people around me really proving that we can do anything. I mean, God, I can't tell you how many times people have told me like, wow, I thought about doing the Peace Corps. Like, I wish I could do that. And I'm like, you can. Like, if I can do it, if I, Mary Heineman, who used to bleach my hair and get my nails done and go tan and spend money on like dumb shit, and sometimes I still do, but just valued things differently. If I can like live in a village for 2 years, anyone can do that. And you get so much more out of it than you would ever imagine. And so I think that, and now I'm like addicted to it. I'm like, oh my God, people have to see the beauty out there. There's so much to see outside of our own bubble. Even if it's just a community over, or even if it's just your neighbor, like, geez, there's so much there.
What do you think? What do you think people are missing out on? No, not at all. You know what? This is incredible.
I'm getting so into it. It's so exciting. I love it.
Good. I'm glad. Cause I think we could probably talk for like hours. I know I promised I'd only keep you for an hour and we're already like coming.
Yeah,
up
it's
on
okay.
That.
It's okay. Don't worry.
So I don't want to, if you need to cut me off, then just let me know.
Okay.
But no, it's incredible. Like I love your passion for everything, like for life. It's so refreshing to see somebody, anybody have like not a passion even for like, I really want to get rich and like, I really want to be famous. And because that's all you see. You have a passion for like, I just want community. I just want to help and change the world. And even though that's a humongous aspiration, changing the world is, but you can change the world. I mean, I truly believe that we can. I truly believe that even in a small way, if you just change one person's perspective, like you don't know what that person's going to go and do or be or see, or, you know, maybe they were having a hard day and you like made it better for them that day, you know?
Absolutely.
So I love the passion. Like that to me is such an attractive and exciting quality in a person that just like it's magnetizing.
Yeah, it exudes.
So, yeah.
It's totally. And I mean, I have to say though that like in my day to day, I'm not just like walking around the neighborhood, jumping, skipping, like, woo, passion.
What? You're not?
Like,
oh my God.
I definitely am like, I'm definitely like pretty mellow and normal in a lot of ways. And then when I have these types of conversations with someone who, you know, there's that we're relating to each other and you're taking the time to hear about it and you're really walking the walk yourself, then that brings us all higher.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Sense.
No, it does. Yeah. I think it's a great way to grow as a person, to learn about other people's experiences.
Mm-hmm.
People don't do that.
Sorry, did I cut you off earlier? Were you going to ask another question?
No, you're totally fine. I think try to remember what I was going to say. Grad school. Like, how did you get to that point where you decided, okay, I've done this and I want to keep doing it and this is going to help me do it better?
Well, the way that I got to that was a couple of things. For several years now, I've known that I wanted to go back to school and get my master's, but I didn't know when or how or what I would study. I always kind of thought it would be international development, but that just kind of felt off because to me, that is more of like an office-y, you know, hard numbers, grant writing type of situation.
Okay.
And I know it doesn't have to be that way, but that's what I kind of saw it as. And so in the last year, year and a half, there were a few things that kind of sparked this like really intense self-reflection. One being my business partner, Sam, choosing to pursue her own organization and not be my business partner anymore. And that was really hard and heavy, even though I understood and like supported my partner in every way. Just really scary to be like, oh shit, it's just me now. What am I doing? You know, all your insecurities come out, and when there's two of you, like you can bounce off each other, and then that's just me. Shit. So that was one thing. And then, a relationship kind of like having ups and downs and then ending, and realizing from the, not necessarily the relationship ending, but like who I was showing up in that relationship and how I was like giving so much support to them and just like showing up so much for them and not totally doing that as much for myself as I could, and as I deserve. And so those two things, as well as my business partner or my in-country business partners in Tanzania, decided that they were going to leave Tanzania after being there for like 10 years. And I had supported them a lot, and like, it totally made sense for them. They're like my soul sisters, and I'm so excited for them, and it was just time for them to go. But just all of those things in combination made me realize that like I had just been putting so much energy into other people and what other people needed for me and how to show up for them. And I just was not really like checking in with what I want and what I desire in the future. And so once I realized that, I was like, oh shoot. Okay. Well, what do I actually want? And so I want it all. I want the business, and I want to have the impact, and I want to go to school, and I want to pursue something that really is meaningful and that will serve others. And what am I actually good at? Like, what skills do I have that I can hone in on? Oh, I'm really good at connecting with people. I'm really good at hearing people's struggles and issues and building them up. And I like doing that. I'm not just good at it, but I really love it. And so that made me realize that social work was the way to go. And it was kind of a last minute idea and thing. And I got it in. It was hard. It was a really hard application, and applied, and then found out pretty soon after that not only was I in, but that I could start like now. And so it all just worked out really, really easily, which was pretty amazing. So that's how that all happened.
What impact do you want to have on the world? What's your ultimate, what does that look like to you?
Yeah. My impact is I want to be living proof that you can heal yourself, and we are all capable of anything that we, our deepest desires and our deepest dreams in life, and every single person is capable of that, and I want to be living proof of that, and I want to positively impact those around me. So I want people to, believe in themselves. I want them to go for things that they wouldn't first think that they could go for. I want them to then have a positive impact on those people around them. I just want to, live a fulfilled, joyful, grateful life, and then spread that by living it.
That is, I don't even know what to say.
I'll let you know if it ever happens.
I think it's already happening.
I'm just kidding. It's happening.
Yeah, I totally think it is. No, I completely think it's already started, you've definitely made a positive impact on me. I mean, just in this, short or long conversation, however you want to view it. And I think just my perspective has changed quite a bit. You know, this is what I really love about doing this is in every person that I've spoken to, I was just talking to Robin about this yesterday, actually, is like I can really see a relation between myself and every single person I've talked to. And I think that's the most like beautiful thing that I've learned from all of this is that we are all very similar in the things that we want and desire. And for some reason or another, we each have this thing in us that like either stops us or pushes us. And I think a lot of it is self-doubt, obviously. And some of us can overcome the self-doubt and some of us can't. And I think it's obvious that you're one of those people that can overcome that and keep pushing forward. And I think, you know, for me, hearing that kind of thing and hearing that from a person who says like, no, look, I'm human and I have this self-doubt in myself and I just had to learn to get over it and deal with it and learn from it and move forward. That helps me a lot because you know, with depression or whatever it is that I, these things that I get into where I just can't move, where I'm just, I feel like I'm stuck. That helps me and other people realize that there is another side to it. You can push through and come out on top at the end.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important message for people to hear is that everything's temporary. I kind of try to say that to my kids all the time. Things are temporary. The good, the bad, it's all just temporary.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's seasonal, everything, this moment. It's all changing and for the good and the bad of it. I mean, it's all kind of the same and it's always changing. And I think every human feels sadness and sorrow and suffering and some form of depression at some point in their life and loss and failure and fear and vulnerability and all of these things. And I think we just don't talk about it enough. And no one is bad for feeling those things and being gentle with ourselves and loving ourselves because we are human and because we feel these things and aren't just callous and, you know, choosing to stuff it all away.
Yeah.
That's not going to serve anyone. So I think that's what I said earlier. I think it's really brave of you to even write down those 30,000 words because
we'll see.
not many people can just sit with their feelings, really.
We'll see how that works out in the future.
Well, this is the beginning of conversations I feel right now. This is the first of many conversations.
I hope so. Yeah, I definitely want to have more. I've really enjoyed this and I know I've asked you like a lot of heavy, heavy questions. And so I kind of want to ask you a lighter one. Like what's been your favorite experience so far? Period. Like whether it's in Tanzania or here or a few even. Talk as much as you want.
My favorite experience? Oh, geez. I don't know. shoot.
Or the one you learned from the most, I guess.
One I learned from. I mean, I've learned a lot. Let me think for a second.
Go for it. Okay, now you're taking too long.
I know. I'm just inundated with. Let's see. It was. One of my favorite moments was I was leading a 3-month gap year program with 10 students and a co-leader. And we had just come off of 10 days on this retreat with these soul sisters that I had mentioned, who run an organization called Ohana Mani. And so we're like super just lovey and high and just feeling so good after like yoga and self-reflection and really yummy salads all week. And it was great. And then they had student directed travel. And so I very, in my mind, unbiasedly was suggesting my favorite place in the entire world, which is on Lake Malawi, and it's called Buyuli. And it's this tiny little eco camp that is run by a man named Joseph. And it's, you're just sleeping in tents on the lake or on the beach, and it's just gorgeous. And so my students, fortunately got the hint and decided, okay, that's where we're going to go for student directed travel. And so, you know, we're gearing up for that. We're getting along bus ride tickets, and we had to stop through this one village or this one tiny town that I used to, it was my banking town. I would go there every week in Peace Corps. And so we had the opportunity to like stop through my old Peace Corps village. And I was going to go regardless, but I definitely invited the students and said, you know, listen, if you want to come hang out for a couple hours in my village and see what it was like, then you're welcome to. And if not, don't worry. There's no pressure. And all 10 of my students and my co-leader were like, yeah, we're going to your village, Mary, of course. So we got on this packed little bus and went to my village for the day. And my main mama, Mama Belga, who just took such good care of me and would show up at my house every morning, and I'd give her coffee, and she would like a classic mom would just like do some of my dishes. Cause she's like, oh God, Mary, you can't even take care of yourself. So, we stopped by her house and I don't think we had lunch. I think we had like a snack or something, but we got to hang out with her, and she was just so excited to have like 12 foreign guests into her home. And she felt so honored, and she just was like grinning ear to ear. And we took a few really funny pictures, and it was just really cool, like full circle kind of moment of the worlds colliding and getting to share like this home with students that I cared a lot about. So that was pretty sweet. And then we went to the beach, and it was great.
I like that. I think that's a great place to end it, with a good, happy memory.
Yes. Yes. Oh yeah. Next time we can talk about all the crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
wow. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you for coming on. I know, you're super, super busy. And so I just appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Of course. So I'm really glad it happened, and thanks for following up. And again, sorry for being,
no, don't be sorry,
you know, off and on with communication, but
nope.
I think what you're doing is amazing. And if I'm ever over on the East Coast, I would love to come visit you guys and meet your beautiful kids.